Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Today's message was preached during the 2006 Bible Conference. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Jones III, our speaker will be Dr. John Lewis, pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Davison, Michigan. The title of his message is Priorities. The text is from Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9.
There are many adjectives I could use to describe our speaker this morning. First of all, friend. Back in 1980, when we first got acquainted at a conference in Manila, he invited my wife and me and our three very young children to come on a missionary trip through Micronesian islands. And he and his son, Eric, about the age of our children, joined us. And we had missionary activity in primitive mission fields. It was a life-changing experience for our whole family. We owe him much for that. He's been a friend ever since. He's pastor. He's Christian educator. Visionary. Outstanding administrator. Friend of God's people. Executive board member at BJU. Veteran of Vietnam. About a year after he left the war theater there, he went to Guam as an unsaved businessman and was in upper management of the largest financial enterprise on the island of Guam. In 1974, he came to know Christ, became an active, dedicated member of the Harvest Baptist Church in Guam. When the pastor left, he was asked by the church membership to become lay pastor, interim pastor. That led to his being pastor there for 19 years. When he left Guam in the mid-90s, the church was over 500, almost 600 people. Had just built a magnificent new facility. The school was almost 1,600 students. And then he came to a crippled, debilitated, sin-debilitated ministry in Davidson, Michigan, a suburb of Flint. Became pastor there, a healer. Brought the church back to spiritual health as the Lord's servant. It is exceedingly strong and vigorous work today. Many of you students here in this auditorium are from Faith Baptist of Davidson. You love your pastor, and we love him too. And I'm sure that as God uses him in our midst these days, those of you who are meeting him for the first time will come to love him and will be thankful that God brought him here to be our servant. Pastor John Lewis, his wife Becky, are with us, and we're so thankful for them.
I'd like to ask you this morning to turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 6. My wife and I, when our children were here at the university, would hear every year their excitement about Bible conference. They would tell us about speakers that they had heard, and sometimes they'd get tapes, "Dad, you need to hear this particular message," and they would send us a tape of a particular message that they enjoyed, that blessed their heart. And I could never come. My wife and I could never come. 1998, when we moved back to the mainland, we determined that we would come to Bible conference. And we came to the first one in the fall of 98. And we haven't missed since, and have no plans of missing, because I now understand what my kids were saying. And what a blessing it really is to be here and to have the opportunity to sit under the preaching of some of my dear friends and great men of God that God has used literally around the world. And I consider it a privilege to stand in this pulpit where great men have stood and opened this book. And today I would like to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of my favorite characters in all of the Bible. And we'll read just three verses out of Nehemiah chapter 6, the first three verses. You follow along as I read. Nehemiah 6, beginning in verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded a wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief, and I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Look especially at the phrase that we see there in verse 3. I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of priorities. I had a good illustration came to me this morning of priorities or how people prioritize things and the motive behind what they do. This morning, my wife and I, at just about 8 o'clock, a rap came on our door and a very nice lady, when I opened the door, was standing there with a tray of food and it looked well. Somebody had taken time. It was garnished well and just a great breakfast for my wife and myself. And I was reminded that yesterday's breakfast. We were in Atlanta and we were headed up this way and we went through a McDonald's drive-thru and ordered a sausage biscuit. The woman that took our order wasn't very friendly. The lady that gave us our order wasn't very friendly. We got the sandwich and opened it up. The sausage was hanging half the way out of it. The biscuit was overdone. And to be honest with you, they could have cared less. They just were doing a job. The breakfast I had this morning, somebody had not done that for me. They had done it for the Lord. And it showed their care. That they wanted to do their job and do it well. They had their priorities in order. They knew they weren't serving a man, that they were doing something for the Lord's servant. And so what a difference it made in the way that they did it. I know that football is big down here in this part of the country. The Clemson team, a lot of fans probably here in the auditorium and all. In our area, professional football, we don't get much of it. We've got the Lions, and they don't play football. I don't know what it is they play, but it's not football. And one of the men in our church this year, we had the Super Bowl in Detroit, and one of the men in our church went to the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl was great. That he just he enjoyed it. 65,000 people there. And with that 65,000 people there, he looked around and just people everywhere you could see. But the seat beside him was empty. There were 64,999 seats filled, and the one beside him was empty. And he thought, somebody, a no-show for the Super Bowl? Can't be. Well, there was a lady sitting next to that empty seat, and he looked over at her, and their eyes kind of met, and he said, can you imagine a no-show for the Super Bowl? I can't believe it. What kind of person would fail to show up for the Super Bowl? And the woman kind of sadly looked down and she said, that seat belonged to my husband. He died. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. He said, but, you know, still, he said, I wonder why some relative, some friend didn't jump on that and come to the Super Bowl. She said, I've wondered about that, too. She said, but they all insisted on going to the funeral. You see, she had priorities. She missed her husband's funeral. I heard about some deer hunters that went deer hunting, and they broke off in twos, and they went out, and then they were coming back to the camp that night. Several of the guys had come in, and here comes one of the guys in, and he's just stooping under a load. He's got an 8-point buck slung across his shoulders. And they looked at him and they were awed by this beautiful rack on this deer and all. And then it dawned on them, where's Charlie? They asked him, said, where's Charlie? Where's your partner? He said, he's about 2 miles back on the trail. He had a stroke or something. They said, you left Charlie and brought the deer? He said, yeah, it was a tough call, but I figured nobody'd steal Charlie. Priorities. Young people, I want to get serious with you now and talk to you about priorities. You know about Nehemiah. You know that he was the king's cupbearer. And Merle Unger says that that job was a prestigious job. He said it was required that, you know, the person that did that be a handsome individual, that they held a position of rank and prestige. People wanted that job. If Nehemiah had died, there would have been a lineup at the employment office applying for that job. And so Nehemiah had a position that was probably one that was envied by many. His position gave him access to the king, gave him an opportunity to have an influence on him. And, you know, the living conditions weren't bad. You ate the same food the king ate. You drank the same things that the king drank. And you'd want to hang on to a job like that unless somebody came running around with a bottle of poison anyway. But you can understand how he would get comfortable in that job and forget about what his priorities ought to be. But the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation in chapter 4 and verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive the glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure are and were created. They are and are were created. You're created for God's pleasure. Your will is to be subservient to God's will for your life. Your priorities ought to be the priorities of God. And you can understand how with a job like this that Nehemiah may have gotten, you know, a little uppity. He may have gotten a little sidetracked. Sometimes when things are going well, it's real easy to get sidetracked and forget that we're serving a great God. And that his priorities need to be our priorities. But Nehemiah never fell into the trap. If we go back to the first chapter, and I'd ask you to turn back there with me, reading in verse 2, the Bible says that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Notice here, you can see that Nehemiah's priorities were right. In verse 4 it says, And it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You see, he still was concerned about the things of God. Though he had a good job, though he was in the limelight, he was concerned about the things of God. And we see in the second chapter when he appeared before the king. The king said, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. His countenance was moved by the things that he heard. Nehemiah's reply is found in the middle of the third verse. He said, Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchers, lieth waste, and the gates there are consumed with fire? He had a reason. He understood, you know, and he explained to the king, this is the reason that I'm sad. The fourth verse, we see that Nehemiah must have built up some kind of a relationship with the king. The king respected him. The king said in the fourth verse, For what dost thou make request? What do you want, Nehemiah? I understand the situation. What is it now you want from me? And it goes on and says, So I prayed to the God of heaven. And Nehemiah said unto the king, the fifth verse says, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, that I may build it. That's an interesting statement there. Oftentimes we'll pray, God send somebody else, let somebody else